Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the costs, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The gospel, or really is it, of the Lord?
Praise to you,
O
Christ.
Praise, huh? Like I said, this is the kind of gospel lesson that preachers do not look forward to. Anyway, grace and peace to you from God, who meets us as our Creator, as Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, and as Holy Spirit, who gathers and inspires us for mission and ministry. Amen. We live in a world where we have to make choices. Looking ahead, the year 2020 will be a presidential election year. Numerous, and we know that it's a lot of candidates, have thrown their hats into the ring to be their party's nominee for president. Every day we receive news about these presidential candidates and hopefuls. Pollsters, newscasters, political consultants, and a wide range of analysts work to assess every one of these candidates. The Iowa caucuses are 5 months away, and personally, I cannot wait for that to happen so we can weed it all out, right? And we who are voters are making our own assessments so that we can determine which candidate each of us will support in 2020. The year 2020 is also the time when the Sierra Pacific Synod will elect a new bishop. The Synod has an online survey to gather information, and tomorrow's the last day, if you haven't already done so, to complete that online survey. And if you need help, come to the church office, we'll help you do it. This survey information will be used by synodical leaders to make an assessment of the status of the Sierra Pacific Synod and an assessment of what people in this synod are looking for in their next bishop. Eventually, this survey information will be used to prepare a synodical profile. Sound familiar? To assist and guide the Sierra Pacific Synod in its discernment and its election of its next bishop. These are a couple of the assessments and choices being made for this year and into 2020. Now, assessing situations and ourselves, along with making choices, well, we all know, are part of life. Today's gospel reading from Luke is a challenge, and quite a challenge, and a call for us to assess what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to assess the cost of being a disciple, and to make a choice to follow Jesus. As part of being his disciple, Jesus asked his followers, and therefore us. Every time the Gospels talk about disciples, the implication is the Gospel writer and Jesus are also speaking to us. So Jesus asked his followers and us to hate family, to give up all of our possessions, and to take up our cross and follow him. Anybody want to leave? We need to keep in mind that during the time when Luke's gospel was written, the disciples of Jesus had to make difficult choices in order to follow Jesus. I wish the book of Acts would talk more about that personally. I mean, people wrestling with their choice. Do I follow Jesus or not? Because for these early Christians, the choice to be a disciple of Jesus meant that there was the potential for families to be divided. Keep in mind that, you know, families were what? Worshiping a variety of gods at that time. And Jesus was only one of those choices in those days, huh? And there was the possibility of persecution and death on a cross for being a follower of Jesus. And in Luke's Christian community, disciples were asked to share the possessions with the rest of the church community. So when Jesus asked his followers to hate family, to give up their possessions, and to take up their cross and follow him, these were real possibilities for those early Christians. Aren't you glad you're living at this time? As Jesus said these things, he shared the example of a builder of a tower and a king planning to go to war. Jesus pointed out that the builder must estimate the cost and determine if he can complete the tower. A king must consider the strength of the opposing army and determine the feasibility of winning the war or to ask for peace. As a builder and king must assess their respective situations, so must we who are disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus asked his followers, and therefore us, to do likewise, to assess the cost of being a disciple of Jesus. It ain't as easy as we think it is. To understand that there are sacrifices that need to be made, and there are a wide range of choices, and to be ready to make the choice of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. In other words, we who are Jesus' disciples must regularly ask ourselves, what are the things that distract and turn each of us away from Jesus? Think about that. What are those things that distract and turn us away from Jesus? What interferes with each of us from taking up our cross and following Jesus? Personally, I'd rather live, but, you know. Or what possesses each of us more than Jesus? We all know our possessions possess us, don't they? Right. Or there are people who possess us, and we think maybe. Or what's the cost when each of us decides to follow Jesus? Or what does Jesus expect of us? And Jesus does have expectations, folks. Keep that in mind. Even though this is a gracious God, how will we respond? So what does Jesus expect of us when Jesus calls each of us to follow him? Are we living up to those expectations? Or where are we falling short? Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem when he challenged his disciples and therefore us to choose him. In Jesus' words, we are reminded that Jesus paid a price for us with his life. I mean, one does not take lightly taking up your cross and following him. And it's not simply just because Jesus is a pain in our butts. All right? It's more than that. Because we've got to make a choice here. Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection expresses God's love, forgiveness, mercy, and grace for us. In other words, our salvation isn't in question when we make this choice, when we talk about the cost of following Jesus. This is not one of those salvation questions. Grace has already done that. Jesus has already paid the price, so don't worry about that. The question is, if you know that, and you know that Jesus means life, and you choose Jesus, there's a price. Okay, there's a cost to discipleship. Remember, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book titled The Cost of Discipleship, and you know what that cost him. He died in Germany. Okay, so think about that. However, Jesus expects a response from us. Being a disciple means that there is a cost for us who are his disciples. We have to choose to follow Jesus. Notice that. We have to choose to follow him. All this talk about grace, yeah, but at some point, you could say no. Have you realized that? All of us can say no. Daily, we are asked to choose Jesus, and therefore, we have to choose that path to life. Daily. Because there's enough stuff pulling us away, isn't there? Have you noticed that Jesus chooses us, and Jesus chooses every one of us, but does Jesus decide for us? You know, you got freedom. You know, we could do all sorts of other things rather than being here today. Or we could decide, well, you know what humanity can do to other people. Okay, but yet, in spite of the cost, the early Christians chose to follow Jesus, and Jesus wants us to do likewise. And so, therefore, why be a disciple of Jesus? Why? You know, in light of what the rest of the culture is telling us, the rest of society is telling us, and the way people are treating people, you know, why be a disciple of Jesus? I mean, it feels like salmon swimming upstream at times, doesn't it? It feels like the world is against us. It feels like we've become irrelevant. But the call is now more than ever, why be a disciple of Jesus? Because Jesus offers us life. I mean, he died, but then also he rose. He promises us life, and Jesus is the way to life and a way of life. I mean, that's why all these early Christians, in the face of insurmountable odds, they saw life. They saw the possibilities. They saw community. They saw what is happening in the lives of other people. And the Jesus way of life offers community, love, forgiveness, grace, reconciliation, hope, and opportunities to make a difference in this world. And that's in short supply wherever else I've turned in this world. And I ain't turning to the government. I know I need government, okay? But I can't rely on others because I rely on you instead. Because you are fellow followers of Jesus with me. And we are promised a lifelong relationship with God and with one another. In a world of distractions and a wide range of other choices, Jesus challenges us to stay focused on him and on the cross because this is the path of life for us, or else we wouldn't be here today. You see, I know you've already made your choice today, at least. Okay, you're here. So what do each of us do to assess our discipleship and help us to stay focused on Jesus? Obviously, being here at worship once a week or as often as possible is a good thing. Okay, it helps us to stay focused or take advantage of the Wednesday night Tazay service. Again, an opportunity to spend time with fellow Christians and to stay focused on Jesus because the world is pulling us in a lot of different directions. Or taking advantage of confession of sins, you know, to take that time or set aside a time every day to confess your sins. Or did you know that in the Evangelical Lutheran Worship Book, there is a section titled, get this, individual confession of sins. Some may say private confession. So if you would like to do individual confession, make an appointment with me, glad to hear your confession. And guess what I get to say to you? Your sins are forgiven. Okay, and then you can go out and make the choice and turn your life around. Or read the Bible. As simple as that. Take 5 minutes, a minute a day, a verse a day, a chapter a day, whatever works for you, because God speaks to us through those words. Okay? Or study the Bible with someone. Sit down and let's talk about it. Or participate in a group with other Christians and share your faith. And it need not be just other Lutherans. There's a whole bunch of other Christians that are looking for people just like us out there in the world, whether they be Methodists, Baptists, Roman Catholics, or whatever group of Christians. Form a group. Or look for Jesus in the world around you and practice that presence of God. How many of you have ever read The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence? Have any of you read that? It's a wonderful book. It's a spiritual classic. Here's this monk washing dishes. Get this. He's in the kitchen washing dishes, and he realizes he has time on his hand. And you know what he wants to do? He tries to focus in and notice God's presence in the midst of washing dishes. Okay, so if you want a simple book to read and just simply practice the presence of God so that wherever you go, when your mind starts wandering, you say, you know, where is God at this point? Where can I see Jesus? Where is God present? Or do I see the face of God in every person that I meet? Or incarnate Jesus for others. I mean, we can be the face of Jesus for us. I mean, I think it's wonderful that we do God's work our hands, because today we get to go out and we will meet people and they get to see the face of Jesus in every one of us. And that's a wonderful experience, to be able to offer that to other folks, to actually say, we're here because we love you and we want to be a part of your life today. Or every Sunday when we gather here, look for the face of Jesus in every person here, because we are all holy people. We are all created in the image of God. Or simply at the end of the day, sit down, open a book or a log, and just jot down, where did you notice Jesus today? It's a simple spiritual practice. And where you notice Jesus, and there's a technical name for it, examine, E-X-A-M-E-N. Just write it down, and then look at where you notice Jesus, pray about it, reflect on it, spend some time with it. You can spend 5 minutes, 10, 15, whatever you want. At the end of the day, thank God for being present, and then go to bed. Simple that, and sleep on that. How's that for a sleep aid? Mm-hmm. Or just every day, assess your relationship with Jesus and commit yourself that day, every day, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you know what happens when we make an assessment, when we make that choice to follow Jesus? Well, each of us, when we assess our discipleship, each of us discovers that there are things that are going to be out of alignment. I mean, anybody here in perfect relationship with God? I'm not. Okay? Now, all of us have work to do. So, you know, and part of the price of following Jesus is daring to make the changes in our lives that helps us to love more, to have hope, to help others more, to be that person who can be the face of Jesus more, to do whatever is needed so that the world can be a better place and we can be better people and God's word gets out to the world around us. And as we change, you know what else also changes? The congregation changes. Have you ever thought about that? You know, when we get together every Sunday, the congregation changes again and again. You just don't notice it. I get paid to notice. All right? But it does. You know, sometimes it's so slow we think it's not happening, but it is. And be open to those changes and possibilities. I mean, a vital part of this interim ministry process that we're going through is change. Because the reality happens to be is, and if you take a look at the history of this congregation, every time this congregation called the pastor, whether it be a lead pastor, whether it be an associate pastor, the congregation changes. And you know what? You change also the pastor, because as the congregation adapts to the pastor adapts to you. And change is a part of that. And if you want to see the Holy Spirit at work, you got to change. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in the business of transformation and changing us, and through us being able to change the world, the neighborhood around us, and through the neighbors and the people around us to change the world. That's what this is about. That's how the kingdom of God becomes real for us. We happen to be the catalyst for change and transformation for ourselves and for the world, and we do it by choice. And that's the result of the Holy Spirit's work among us. Now, as I share this sermon with you today, I realize that, again, I'm speaking to the choir. Quite literally, all right? But also, I'm speaking to the choir because your very presence here today indicates that you've chosen to be disciples of Jesus. Maybe some of you got drafted here for whatever reasons, maybe because of the shirt you're wearing. But that's okay, because today is also God's Work, Our Hands Sunday. Today, we have decided to show that God's work has been done for us through God, and we are able to share that through our hands. And through our actions, we want to incarnate God's work for our neighbors so that they can experience God's hand work. Do you recall the history of God's Work, Our Hands Sunday? You know, you realize that, you know, this is a response to 9/11. You know, a year after 9/11, during that first anniversary, remember what the Obama administration called for? A day of service to celebrate or to remember 9/11. And the response of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is to begin God's Work, Our Hands Sunday. So in response to a terror attack, in response to violence, in response to that which is death, God's Work, Our Hands Sunday is a response and a proclamation that hurting people isn't the answer. And that's a choice on our part. That people can come together and be community. Again, that is a choice when we form a community known as Peace Lutheran Church. That we can work together and help our neighbors. That is a choice. That hope is alive and we will carry that hope out into the world. And that is a choice. That peace is possible, and you know where peace has to begin. It has to begin with who? Me and every one of us. We know the song as well as anybody else. And that love will prevail. And love is an intentional action. It ain't just a feeling. It ain't something that God just gives to us. God wants us to do something about the love that has been passed on to us, and that is to love ourselves and to love others. And that, again, is a choice. Through us, Jesus can come alive for others. God's work, and that's why we're here, because of what God has done to us and through us and in us and through all the people who have made it possible, and we get to become God's hands for others. In the face of so many choices, again, why do we choose Jesus? Why be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, it's because of God's work through Jesus. It's always good to be reminded. I find this helpful because Jesus came among us, died and rose so that we may have life and to be Jesus' ministers and disciples. Jesus is God's expression of love, mercy, forgiveness, and grace. Through Jesus, God provides a way to life and a way of life. So Jesus makes change and transformation possible, and we may resist, and there's a good chance that we will. However, have you noticed that Jesus never gives up on us? Dang, this God's persistent. Today and every day, Jesus challenges us to assess what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to assess the cost of being a disciple. And daily, Jesus challenges us to choose him and therefore to choose life. Jesus has already made the choice because Jesus has sized us up, assessed us, and decided to die and rise for every one of us and all creation. Through Jesus, transformation and change are possible. He's already paid the price. Again, God's work. So what will we do in response to Jesus' constant challenge to us to make a choice every day of our lives? Amen.